Are you missing the football season? Imagine, though, how you'd feel if your club's name just disappeared forever. Well, Philip O'Rourke has toured the world seeking out the stories of some clubs which are no more. The book is called Forgotten Football Clubs. It's out now. It's published by Pitch. I spoke with Philip recently. I asked him what motivated him to write this.
It was basically a blog that started back in 2019 that really started when I started covering League of Ireland clubs. Former League of Ireland clubs, and the first one, which is the first chapter of the book, Spartan Fingal, is a club that I used to follow when I was only 18, a club that kind of originated from my area of County Fingal. Without getting into too much geographical stuff, Fingal is basically where I'm from. It's like a county within a county. So I'm from Dublin, which is beside Dublin Airport. County Fingal is like inside Dublin. It's kind of outside. It's like a suburb.
Right, got you.
But it does have 250,000 population within it. So, but it doesn't have a football club. It did when I had Spartan Fingal, but as you know, in the book, Spartan Fingal only lasted 4 years.
That to me seems to be the essence here, because for many of us, we just stop hearing the names of certain clubs when they go out of business, when they merge, if they get taken over by a franchise, whatever. We just don't hear them anymore with the full-time scores or see them, you know, in the fixture list. But as a fan, there's something much more vital here, isn't there? It's a connection. You're part of a tribe. It matters to you. And then when that is taken away for whatever reason, you feel bereft.
Yeah. I mean, in some of my early interviews, like, for example, Monaghan United, which is another former League of Ireland club, I interviewed a woman who used to follow them all over Ireland. You know, the games in Monaghan would have been quite a small football club. But when she described when they dissolved, she said it was like a debt in the family. Mm. And that was kind of struck me. And it's kind of the same sentiment that I used to get from most football fans, especially like right now, doing my own podcast and stuff like that with Rory Bryce there. We interview fans of these clubs, like from Chester, for example, at Aldershot. Even though them clubs are still alive or back alive now, you can hear the emotion in their voice about those tough times when they, you know, knew their football club was about to go or did go in the end. But as I said, for some, it's been a happier ending, I suppose, that they've come back. But for others, it's not so much.
And it is that sadness. But like you say, sometimes that is born out of frustration. There's a fair amount of anger here, of feeling let down. And all the while, there's more money being pumped into football, and yet it's not trickling down, is it? There's more clubs going to the wall.
Yeah, like you like exactly what you said there. There's so much money in football that you expect more football clubs to grow and prosper. But unfortunately, it's a case of the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer. So I envisage a lot of football clubs kind of going by the wayside in the next couple of years. Like, I mean, you're even looking at clubs at the moment, like Scunthorpe, for example. They were a Championship club only a few seasons ago.
And a great catchment area, you know, a proud history and a proud town built on the back of steel production. And I think that was the remarkable thing of some of the chapters, some of the clubs listed here in your book, Philip, is plenty of these clubs achieved quite a lot, and they lasted for decades and generations.
Yeah. I mean, even if you go as far as Jiangsu over in China, they were in 1958. They went, you know, they had a bit of a history, Chinese Cup finals and stuff like that. And actually, again, when the Chinese Premier League came in, or the Super League was introduced, and all that money, if you remember, that was, and they eventually won the league. It was then that the rug kind of got pulled underneath them. So money isn't everything, and it has been a detriment to a lot of clubs, especially the clubs that I've written. It is a common theme. A lot of the clubs that I've written about, the more money that comes in, the harder it becomes to survive.
It's something that never happened, isn't it? I think back to Southport when they went out of the league and Wigan came in, and then that was probably, well, in the 70s, probably two teams weren't re-elected. And now it is all the more fluid, and there's good and bad to that. But also, there are so many clubs that go through, it seems to me, the stages of an owner or a board who don't really care, who want to use the club and the name as a cash cow, asset strip in many ways, and then it's left to the fans to try and rebuild, and probably rebuild from the very bottom of the pyramid.
Yeah, no, you're dead right. A lot of clubs are being used as advertisement boards, basically. That's kind of what we describe them as. And then, unfortunately, it's the fans that feel the ill effects. I mean, it's great when you know, you have an owner. For example, Wrexham, as we all know, is a huge story at the moment, Ryan Reynolds. So these lads are coming in and they're pumping loads of money in, and I'm sure they have their great, great intentions and stuff like that, but at any moment in time, they could pull their money away. And I'm not saying they will, but if they do, Wrexham are literally gone, and the football fans there, like, Wrexham have a huge, huge football in history, but if that money is pulled away, that club is in big trouble. So it is what it is. It is something that, you know, it's the same way, even if you're even to go on a larger scale, Man City, if the Sheikh there wanted it, Sheikh Mansour, I think, who owns it, if he said, look, I'm done, I want out of City, Man City are, you know, I don't want to use any profound words, but they are in big, big trouble, and they're falling right back down the league. And the football fans are just going to have to be the ones that are left picking it up. Real football fans are there, whether the good times or the bad. But as I found in a lot of the stories that I've covered, say, for example, the Belgium club, KSK Beveren and stuff, the football fans have had to come back in and save their club, and that sometimes have to go to court and, you know, legal battles just to keep it going. Because at the end of the day, these clubs are what football fans live for. It's what they, you know, that Saturday to go to a football game. Some people, it's their lives. And unfortunately, these things are being put into the hands of people who don't care, really.
I'm just looking through your book here. I have it, man. Really enjoyed it. And we talk of, like you mentioned, Belgium, the Netherlands, Estonia, Belarus, Bolivia, Brazil, Canada, Australia, Japan. It's a global thing, this. Probably one thing that doesn't impact on us in the UK, apart from Milton Keynes, are the franchise teams. And that creates a problem as well, doesn't it? The shifting base, because how can it be your local team if they up sticks and move down the M6?
Yeah, I've actually covered Wimbledon, I suppose, would be a forgotten club, because we all know the story that they basically up sticks went to Milton Keynes and stuff like that. Interestingly enough, the KSK Beveren story is kind of like that, where basically their club was moved to another town. The fans didn't like it, so they created KSK Beveren again, but they had to go through a lot of legal proceedings. So there's actually two. There's Wazeeland Beveren now and KSK Beveren. So they kind of, they don't fight anymore. There's a little bit of animosity, according to the board members of KSK Beveren. But there are some fans who feel very, very passionately that they are the real club. Same with AFC Wimbledon and MK Dons. There's a kind of ongoing battle, who is the real Wimbledon. It's not something that happens a lot. So different countries, different continents would have, you know, the similar reasons. So, I mean, in South America, the main reasons would be the leagues. Like, for example, the Brazilian club we covered there, they were in Serie C in Brazil at one point. But to get out of that, I think there was 108 clubs, and there was only like one promotion spot for them 108 clubs. So you can imagine it's a bit of a rat race. And people aren't going to, you know, invest or take a chance in that, because, you know, 1 in 100 chance of getting promoted. And you're only getting promoted to Serie B, you're not even getting to the big con. So there is a big, big problem there, in South America. It's funny, though, the franchise thing has worked in America itself, North America, the MLS, which has only seen three clubs gone since the MLS began. I cover one of them called Chivas USA, and they just went because they were basically like, they were basically a club within a club. So they were born from an idea from a bloke who wanted them to be a brother or sister club from a club called Guadalajara from Mexico. And he basically tried to pinpoint the Mexican fans in California, Los Angeles, but it did not work.
Well, these are names of clubs that are really emotional and evocative, aren't they? Guadalajara, Chivas. I mean, even if you've just played it on FIFA, you've heard of this. What I liked about it is that, yeah, we can talk about the corporate world, we can talk about greedy owners, we can talk about franchises and the like, but oftentimes it is a story of hope, isn't it? And of green shoots and of recovery and of that journey of being a fan and being invested.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I try to put a positive spin on it. A lot of times, there obviously is a doom and gloom part of it because obviously these clubs have gone through turbulent times. But I do try to put a positive spin on every club, even if they have gone by the wayside. There's a few clubs in the book that only get, say, two or three pages, but they're in there for a reason. The club from Norway, for example, Stornhandland, quite a non-existent club, really, if you think about it. But they were basically a project by a business, and they never had any fans. So they're actually known in Norway as the club without a soul. And they had no fans, but I had to put them in because they didn't. They just didn't take off, and because they didn't have fans. So it just goes to show that football fans are the lifeblood of a club. You can't have a football club without fans, and they were just an example. There's loads of other examples, but I just have to put them in just to show that.
It's called Forgotten Football Clubs. Philip O'Rourke, our guest this evening, is the author. It's out now, published by Pitch. Philip, thank you so much for your time.